This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Good to be with you. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. We're here all the way till 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, Peggy Cotin checks in. She's bringing Ryan Rutherford with her. Let's talk about climate change. Also, Jacqueline Frederick from the Latino Outreach Council. Craig Schaefer from PCPA talks about the new Shakespeare production. We have some free tickets to give away. And Friday, we've got Yanana Rose with her guitar. Nice way to end the week. It is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. And I just want to take a second and repeat what I said just before the 4 o'clock hour began. I want to call your attention to the fact that the Tribune just published an editorial today where they agree with me about this gentleman out in Los Osos who found Chief Cantrell's gun. The Tribune has now weighed in, and they are also saying that this man should not be prosecuted, that this whole thing just needs to stop, and we all move on with our lives. So please, Dan Dow, do the right thing. Do not file charges against this young man. He did nothing wrong. Look who's here. It's the one, the only. Mr. Dan Shadwell. Dan, how are you?
Doing well, Dave. Good to see you. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
Appreciate it very much. Have you ever thought about running for office?
Boy. You know, I mean, I think under the right circumstances, almost anyone can be compelled to do just about anything.
See, I have no desire.
No, is that right?
Yeah. I bring it up because, you know, we've been in the media.
Yeah.
And Andy Caldwell, who's going to be here, by the way, a week from tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Radio talk show host in Santa Maria and Santa Barbara. Nice guy. A little bit too conservative for me, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. He's going to run for Congress. He's running against Salud Carbajal.
Yeah.
And my question was, which and will be when he comes here, is he going to give up his show? Apparently he's not.
I can't imagine that he would. I mean, he's got that soapbox.
Is that an unfair advantage?
Soapbox. Well, sure it is. But so is unlimited money going to all sorts of campaigns, and a lot of it not disclosed. So I don't know. I mean, you know, it's interesting. Our election situation is so convoluted and so complicated and so needs reform on so many levels.
But if you were the radio station and Salud Carbajal came up and said, okay, you got this guy on for 2 hours a day and he's extolling his campaign, I want 2 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Would the radio station have to provide equal time?
Well, I believe so.
We're not lawyers.
No, but I believe so because you have that precedent. Well, of course, this goes back many decades to a law that used to be on the books that was basically changed by, I believe, Colin Powell's son, who was Michael Powell.
Michael Powell, right. Good memory.
When he was the FCC chair.
Yeah.
So, and frankly, when that change occurred, that sort of created this blooming industry that we now call cable news, particularly the opinion angle, because now all of a sudden people can go on the air and sort of say whatever they think and pretty much monopolize the airtime and not have to allow an opposing point of view.
Andy Caldwell will be here a week from tomorrow. And
yeah.
Michael Whitty's been here a lot. Salud Carbajal's been here a lot. We'll give you all the different candidates and we'll see what's on your mind. But we're going to focus on Tucker Carlson and Chris Cuomo. Do you watch much cable news?
I confess I probably watch more than I should.
Okay.
I would say on average probably an hour, hour and a half an evening usually, or split between the gym and some in the evening. Yeah, probably do. It's hard.
Particularly hard on CNN. And I won't ask you your politics, but I'm leftist center independent.
Okay.
And I still have trouble watching CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Don Lemon, no thanks. I'm not even a Chris Cuomo fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I have nothing against the guy, but I'm not. The only guy on CNN I like is Anderson Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish he were on another network.
Mm-hmm.
I'd watch him more because I like him.
Yeah.
But I cringe whenever Don Lemon comes on, and I don't get the big deal about Chris Cuomo. And then he got into this brouhaha with this guy.
Yeah. So, and this is just stupid, honestly. I mean, I'm frankly a little amazed that CNN is backing up Cuomo on this. So You know, I don't know how much you've told the audience about this, but this.
No, we haven't talked about it.
Okay,
so waiting for you.
So okay, so Chris Cuomo apparently was
Who's the anchor? Who's the big anchor on CNN?
Big anchor on CNN, and apparently he is pulling the best numbers there right now.
And son of Mario Cuomo,
and brother of Andrew,
who's the governor of New York.
Yeah. So he's connected, as they say. You know, and of course when he was heckled. And decided to get into the heckler's face, everything went south very quickly.
The heckler called him Fredo.
Fredo, yes, a reference
to the Godfather.
Cuomo says to the Godfather character, you know, who is this
the
kind of
one.
The weak one, the turncoat, the guy who lies and who is, you know, arguably the weakest of all of Corleone's. What was interesting, I thought, sort of in the aftermath, and we can talk about exactly what he said here, but I'll quote some of it, and of course we're going to bleep, I'll self bleep here. How about that? Only punk blank 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 bitches from the right call me Fredo. He said, Fredo is from The Godfather. He was a weak brother, and they use it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian, it's an effing insult to the people. It's like the N-word for us. So then he started kind of pushing this guy, and you know, he says, don't effing insult me like that. You know my name is not effing Fredo. The guy apparently...
and I guess the guy's a conservative operative. In some ways, this was a setup.
Well, sure.
They were trying to push Chris Cuomo's buttons.
And he should know better than this. I mean, honestly, he's an attorney, too. Yeah. He's an attorney. He's a news anchor. He's well-connected. And I'm sure he's run into this sort of thing before. And he just lost his cool, I guess, but decided to somehow try to overpower the guy verbally.
I don't mean to show my age, but I'm trying to having a hard time trying to picture, I don't know, Huntley or Brinkley. You know what I'm saying? All right.
I was spoiled. You don't think Walter Cronkite was itching for a fight every night in the bars?
Think Walter Cronkite is going to haul off and punch some guy or get in a verbal fight?
It's just stupid. Yeah.
I was raised on a generation of where, and I'm sorry, they were mostly newsmen. I'm not trying to be sexist, but they were newsmen and they were professional, and they were professional 24/7.
Right.
And if they weren't, they were fired.
Right?
You didn't have this kind of stuff.
No. And in fact, there was a funny article the New York Post published where they went out and tried to actively seek out Italian-American New Yorkers to get them to weigh in on whether or not the phrase Fredo had any correlation whatsoever to the N-word.
Yeah.
And even the Italian the Italian folks basically said, this is ridiculous. And then one guy said, it took a page right out of Fredo's book. This is a retired police source who investigated the mob for years. He says, if Cuomo was more like Michael Corleone, he would have dealt with it quietly later, and there would have been no fingerprints.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good point.
You know, so in that respect, I mean, Cuomo sort of ended up playing the more obnoxious and maybe, I don't know.
And Tucker Carlson, not to jump ahead, but he's not a news anchor. He's more like a TV talk show host.
Yeah.
But I still think the point is valid. The idea of an anchor has changed from how I'm a little bit older than you are, how it was when I was growing up, but certainly how you were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Anchors were expected to behave in a certain way
and
not get in public brawls and not say dumb things about white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get this. What's changed?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because we started out talking about the Fairness Doctrine. And I think to be particularly critical of that time frame and that change, I think we have to actually really look at that. Because when you think about Walter Cronkite, who was considered during his time to be the most trusted man in the country, to where we are now, where you have the president of the United States routinely saying fake news, no matter who it is, if they write anything critical of him, it's now disregarded, and it's disregarded by a large number of his supporters.
I mean, who's the most trusted person in America right now?
Oh boy,
I mean,
maybe Morgan Freeman. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's somebody in news.
If I asked you, who do you think the most trusted person in America is right now, news or whatever? Who do you think that would be?
Boy, I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, maybe that's a good question for the callers.
Also, the Stahlberg Law KVC text line, callers reminding us that Fredo, meaning Cuomo, threatened to assault the guy and push him down the stairs.
Yes. Yeah, that was part of it. Yeah, that was part of the rant. He said, I'll effing ruin your S blank, blank, blank. Yeah. Cuomo said, I'll effing throw you down these stairs like an effing punk. Like, take a swing. Come on, boy. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, but here's the thing. Anybody who actually knows anything about Chris Cuomo will also know that he is somewhat narcissistic on social media, too. My wife was started kind of following him just to try to figure out, you know, where he was coming from on a lot of things. And he's got this whole Instagram setup where he basically shows himself working out at the gym all the time. You're talking about how he's, you know, lifting weights and how he's...
Before I take the break, I'm looking over to Craig. Craig, if I put you on the spot and asked you, who do you think the most trusted American is right now, who would you say?
Besides myself,
Did anybody, like, anybody come to mind?
That
a public figure. Political.
I really can't come up with one. I mean, Tom Hanks seems really cool, but I mean, I can't come up with anybody just because I don't trust anyone. I don't put any stock into celebrity.
Remember, I know you're after the fact, but Walter Cronkite was the most trusted man in America.
Yeah, you know, one guy I was thinking the other day was, I think it was Bernard Shaw on CNN, the guy with the mustache. I always thought he was really, you know, real square, real down the middle.
For a while, a lot of people thought Robert Mueller was.
Yeah.
But then he came out with a report.
Well, we might pursue this when we come back.
Yeah.
Dan Shadwell is here. We're talking. We're live, we're local on AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. Thanks for joining us. Always good to have Dan Shadwell on this broadcast. We're talking about a couple of different things. We're talking a little bit about cable news personalities in the news, not necessarily positive. Chris Cuomo made an ass out of himself. And then you've got Tucker Carlson, who we'll get to in a minute. But then we got off into this other area, and I am still perplexed by it. Walter Cronkite was the most trusted American.
Yeah.
In the 60s and the 70s, and there's no Walter Cronkite. I looked during the break. You know who the most admired Americans are right now? Public figures? Male and female?
Boy, I have no idea.
Barack Obama.
Oh, really? Okay.
And Michelle Obama.
Well, that makes sense,
I guess. They're the most admired Americans.
Yeah.
Donald Trump and Bill Gates and Clint Eastwood are the other top men. And Melania Trump and Oprah and Angelina Jolie are the other women. I don't know what it's based on. Anyway, we threw up the phone lines.
Yeah.
805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. You want to talk about Chris Cuomo? That's fine. But I'm just kind of curious. Is there anybody you trust now as a public figure? If there was somebody who were to be on the radio or television or politics, I don't know, maybe it's Bernie Sanders. I don't know. Who do you trust? Who's out there that we trust anymore? 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Think about it.
Yeah.
And we got an answer. Give us a call. I always say it's got to be a national public figure. Is there anybody you trust as a public figure anymore? In the absence of that, I
Neil
think it's
deGrasse
very...
Tyson, maybe.
Well.
About physics. But yeah, he had some issues, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Oh, boy.
We may have stumped our listeners on that one. So what about Tucker Carlson? We keep referencing him.
Okay. Well, so Tucker, as we were discussing earlier, he's not a news anchor. He's a political commentator. And it always rankles me, frankly, to turn on the TV and see him on there and see the Fox News bug there, because it seems to me that it always implies that he's a news guy, and he's not.
Let's go to Michael in Paso on KVEC. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Dave. You know, there are two people that I think are incredible thinkers, and they're kind of different. And then there's one anchor. I think Brett Baer is a great anchor.
I like Brett Baer. He went to DePaul University, where I used to teach, and so I can vouch for the fact. We weren't there at the same time, But that's a good school, and he got a good education. I like him.
Yeah, he's well-educated. He's tries to be very objective. But the other two, and they're kind of so different. Victor Davis Hanson is a brilliant man. And he just has, obviously, he has some, he's written some fantastic books. I'd really encourage people to read his writings. And then I just love Tucker Carlson. He's a brilliant mind. And he's able to present his point of view and bring people on who totally disagree with him. And they're able to have those discussions. And I think that's one of the marvelous things about
Okay, Tucker. Well, you brought up Tucker Carlson. We're about to go there. So you start, Michael. What about Tucker Carlson being on vacation now suddenly because he announced that there's no such thing as white supremacy?
Well, you know, he has his point of view. I think the context of his comments, I don't know because I didn't hear that. And I'm gonna look at the context of those comments. But, you know, contextually, Tucker has a point of view that I think people really ought to listen to because he looks at things from
I'm asking you about a specific comment that has been in the news in the last week, and he's suddenly placed on vacation, and he's losing advertisers left and right. Now, you've been nice enough to call in and say, this is your guy. So I think it's a fair question about how you respond to this most recent controversy. This isn't the first time for him, Michael.
Well, yeah, it isn't, and that's fine, but I have to look at the context of exactly what he said before I could answer your question.
Michael, I can actually read the quote to you, and you can look this up on the internet too. It's interesting
because he
starts out defending the president, and he says he never endorsed white supremacy or came close to endorsing white supremacy. That's just a lie, but he condemned it anyway. Their response, which of course he's referring to I guess the left or other media sources, their response, he didn't really mean it. And then he goes on to say, but the whole thing is a lie. If you were to assemble a list of a hierarchy of concerns, of problems facing this country, where would white supremacy be on the list? Right up there with Russia, probably. It's actually not a real problem in America. The combined membership of every white supremacist organization in this country is able to fit inside a college football stadium. Seriously, of all the problems facing this country, where would white supremacy be? Seriously, this is a country where the average person is getting poorer, where the suicide rate is spiking. White supremacy, that's the problem. This is a hoax, just like the Russian hoax.
All right, Michael.
Oh, and I totally agree with what he just said, because it is a hoax. Because
white supremacy is a hoax?
Now,
well, Michael, wait.
I got 30 seconds.
No, wait.
Michael.
The context of what he's saying as it relates to the real issues that the United States is facing is marginal. It's being used as a tool, as a hammer, as a whip to basically whip people up. And I agree with what he's saying. The context of what he's saying is correct. In the whole scheme of things, it's not a big deal at this point. I think Antifa, I think a lot of these other left-wing groups can be considered very dangerous. But talking about...
We're going to news. Thanks for the call. On the KBC text line, David says Jimmy Carter is someone he respects and trusts. Dan Shadwell is here. More of your phone calls still to come. Here's the news, traffic, weather. You're listening to Hometown Radio. Don't forget to start your Thursday morning off with First Look. Andy Morris and Scott Taylor have you covered with everything you need to know to get you out the door from 6 to 9 a.m., followed by Mr. Rush Limbaugh from 9 until noon, followed by the Mark Wilson Show featuring our own Craig Hill from noon to 2. Then after a short dose of Dave Ramsey, Craig and I will be back with you at 3:05 with a Thursday edition of Hometown Radio. We are continuing our conversation with a media veteran, Dan Shadwell. We got a couple things going. One, we're both kind of surprised we're of the generation that we remember Walter Cronkite. He was the most trusted man in America. Not to be sexist, but that was what he was called. But now, who's the new Walter Cronkite? Who is it that we trust? Is there anybody as a politician, as a journalist, as any kind of media celebrity? Dan and Craig and I, we can't think of anybody. What about you? 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Is there anyone out there in the public arena that we can really trust anymore, or is it just all a circus? Other thing we have going is cable news personalities behaving badly. We talked a little bit about Chris Cuomo. We were just starting to talk about Tucker Carlson when Michael called in to defend Tucker. Do you want to comment at all on Michael's call?
Sure. Well, okay, so he says that Tucker Carlson is a bright guy, and I agree with that. I think Tucker Carlson is, I mean, he's well-educated. The thing that really bothers me is that Tucker Carlson is a history major who graduated from Temple University, a very good school, and he, I think, knows better than to say that white supremacy is a hoax. I mean, and maybe he didn't think this through very well, but the problem is when you're watching Tucker Carlson, he's not just talking off the cuff. He's reading a teleprompter, yeah, which means he's had time to write all that down and think it over.
All right. We got Susan and San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Susan.
Hey, hi.
Hi,
both
Susan.
Of you.
Hi.
I find you both very trustworthy.
Well, it's nice of you to say.
On a public, on a national level, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I find very trustworthy.
She was also on the list.
Pardon me?
She was also on the list I was referring to.
Oh, I didn't hear that. And I also find Robert Redford trustworthy. I think he's lived a very admirable life, and he has done a lot for the environment, and I think he's very intelligent.
I trust him, certainly.
I listen to what he says.
I certainly trust him on the environment. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's dedicated his life. Yeah.
Yeah, he has.
Any thoughts on those, Dan?
No, I would tend to agree with both of those. I had the honor of interviewing Robert Redford years ago when he was in the midst of doing some of the environmental work.
Oh, give us a story. Come on, you can't drop that.
Let's see. He had done a film with Willem Dafoe, and I'm trying to remember the title of it at this point.
But The Clearing.
Yeah, there you go. And I went in to sit down to do the interview, and the entire time he wanted to talk about Tim Wirth, who was a lawmaker from the state of Colorado who had a very good environmental record. And basically, he was saying that he was very concerned, even at that point, that we were heading into, he was saying, a new extinction period. And anybody who's been paying attention to, the controversy over the Endangered Species Act being rolled back is familiar with the fact that that may have been prescient.
Our topic tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Very good.
Lots to talk about. There you go, Susan. You call in and you get a Robert Redford story. Was he nice to you?
Hey.
He was wonderful.
He's really a
very sharp guy and just really sits and listens to.
But he's really short.
He is short.
Yeah.
He was a baseball player at University of Colorado, so we talked about that a little bit too.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
All right, Susan. Good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. See, you call in, you get a Robert Redford story.
You never know where it's going
to
go.
We go to Scott on KVEC. Hi, Scott.
Hello, Dave. Hello,
hey, Scott.
Dan.
Hi. Hey there.
I got a list. Some of these people are dead, but I want to bring them up.
Right.
As trusted people. Andy Rooney was one I used to trust a lot.
Okay.
Hugh Hauser. Bernard Shaw still alive.
Mm-hmm. You're the second person. You're the second person to mention Bernard Shaw.
I think he was good. I think that's when CNN used to be a good network. And Chris Wallace today. Melania Trump, I would say her because she's not really political. That's just my view of her.
I like Chris Wallace. I think he does a nice job.
And I admire his father as well.
Yes.
Katie Hopkins is a conservative, but I don't see her as... I trust her, but I just put her name. And Brett Baer, obviously, I think he's probably the most trusted person in news. Besides Fox, I'm just saying there are people on CNN and NBC actually praise Brett Baer. And I think that has a lot to say about him is he's really right in the middle.
There's Brett Baer. There's Chris Wallace. And Shepard Smith.
Shepard Smith is very good, too. And I think he's also principled because he's surrounded by people who tend to, I think, get a lot of pressure to slant some of their shows.
Scott, what do you think of Shepard Smith?
I don't trust him. I mean,
why not?
I think he works for Fox News. He's a Democrat, but I don't think I really trust him. Regardless if he's a Fox News, I'm not really pleased by him. I listen to him, but I really have a big opinion on him. You know, listen, if Mr. Rogers was alive today, I would say he would be the most trusted American.
Hands down. But Tom Hanks is coming out in the movie at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also, Dave, CNN, it's not just Chris Cuomo, but Don Lemon and April Ryan. They're all in conflicts this week. And
slow down. What's going on with Don Lemon?
Well, Don Lemon's being sued because he assaulted someone at a Hampton bar. And, Don Lemon is a wealthy anchorman for CNN, and he likes to hang out in the Hamptons. Huh. So apparently he had some kind of scuffle with a bartender. Mm-hmm. So the bartender wants to take him to court.
Maybe, the other thing is maybe the bartender called him Fredo.
I don't know. You know, Dave, do you think Fredo is an insulting name? I mean, I heard Michael Savage say, you know, if you're an Italian, it could be insulting, but you know what? Someone said Fredo to Chris Cuomo on TV, and
yeah,
he didn't
that.
Go after them.
So what about April Ryan? What's April Ryan?
April Ryan was in an incident where her bodyguard kicked out a reporter, and she kept quiet. So, you know, the network is being quiet on all three of these people. So
again, this would never happen with Huntley Brinkley.
Maybe yeah. not, you know.
Dan,
but anyway,
stay with us, Scott. Dan, what do you say?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think here's the thing. Anybody who's famous nowadays, who's making the kind of money that a lot of these people are making, is not only going to be guilty of being human, in which case they are going to make some bad decisions occasionally, but a lot more of that is public now. So I have no idea. I mean, Edward R. Murrow was incredibly well-liked and well-trusted, and both he and Walter Cronkite came out with some very, nowadays you might even be labeled opinionated or editorializing if you were to say something like Walter Cronkite did following the Vietnam War, where
right.
he basically said it was a mistake. We've shifted now so that I think the firewall between news and opinion has just dissolved to the point where nobody really, I think, people in general, I think, have a difficult time figuring out what they're hearing.
What else, Scott?
Wouldn't it be great if we had a network that was non-biased on both sides? It was just right in the middle.
It's called PBS.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
It's called the old PBS NewsHour is right down the middle.
Yep.
That's a great news show.
And the truth of the matter is, if you sit there and spend the time and watch that program, you will learn some things because they don't present everything in a minute and 30 seconds.
Yep, they spend their time.
They spend the time.
Every Friday night, they've got Shields and
Brooks.
And
yep.
Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry, Dave. Go ahead. I want to say Ron Rupert was actually a very good reporter.
I don't know Ron Rupert.
Ron Rupert. He used to be the one from Meet the Press. Meet the Press, remember?
Oh, Tim Russert, maybe?
Jim Russert.
Yeah, Tim
Russert.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ron Rupert. He, what?
I'm sorry, I lost you there.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was excellent.
Yeah.
He was on the left, but I trusted him. I thought he was I think it was great for NBC.
That's a great example. All right.
Who they have now. Anyway, I appreciate it, Dave. Great conversation.
All right, Scott. You. Thanks for being part of
Thank
it.
Thank you.
805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. A little bit about Chris Cuomo, a little bit about Tucker Carlson, but also the question that's emerging here, is there anybody in public life now that you trust? Where are the Walter Cronkites of the world?
What about scientists? I mean,
but they're not public.
I know, they're not. Yeah. They're not. And it used to be that we did, I think, maybe trust people like, I'm blanking it, Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
Billions and billions.
Billions and billions.
We got Rick in Templeton on KVEC. Hi, Rick.
Hi there.
Hi, Rick.
I really like John Batchelor. Have you heard of John Batchelor?
Yeah, I have. I'll try to refresh my memory. I know the guy.
Well, I listen to him on talk radio, you know, every night.
Yes.
Out of San Francisco and all.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets the most interesting, in-depth, you know, guests and stories. It's just really good.
I have friends who have been guests on his show.
Yeah, okay. I just really like him, so I thought I'd let you know.
I'm glad you did, Rick. Nice to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. We got a Jeff in Cayucas on KVEC. Hi, Jeff.
How are you, Dave?
Oh, good. Jeff, how are you?
Good. So my three would be Leslie Stahl, Tom Brokaw, and Madeleine Albright.
Wow.
Wow. Good list.
Why Leslie Stahl?
Because I think she's a reporter with integrity, and I see the same thing about Tom Brokaw. They investigate, they get what they believe to be the full picture, they put it out there for people to look at and make their own judgment about.
And Madeleine Albright's former Secretary of State.
She was, I think her reputation was beyond reproach at any point in her career.
Dan?
Mm-hmm. I would agree with your assessment. I think all three of those people are highly trustworthy for them, at least that's my opinion.
Yeah. Jeff, I think one night this week you should go to the Palm and see this documentary on Mike Wallace. You might enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Mike Wallace is Here. It plays every night at 7 o'clock. We saw it Sunday night. In fact, Leslie Stahl's in it because she talks to Mike Wallace at one point and just traces his career and shows clips of some of his more famous confrontations.
Well, I like Mike, too. I was just giving you three that I don't think any other listener had mentioned.
I'm glad you did, Jeff. Thank you. Off the Stahlberg Law KVEC text line. This is a guy who's trashing Edward R. Murrow. As far as Edward R. Murrow goes, boy, did he have the country snowed. People actually thought he was a journalist. I dare you to call in. 805-543-8830 and say that to my ears. I dare you to call in and trash Edward R. Murrow. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you take a cheap shot at a man who defined broadcast journalism? How dare you? Think I'm getting my point across? I dare you to call in and say that to my ears.
Mm-hmm.
I dare you to prove that Edward R. Murrow had the country snowed. He exposed Joseph McCarthy. He exposed the migrant conditions in California. Harvest of Shame remains the best broadcast journalism documentary of its time. Edward R. Murrow inspired generations to go in and pursue broadcast journalism to save your ass by exposing the bad guys.
Mm-hmm. And expose.
I dare you. I dare you to call in. I dare you to call in.
And, of course, that's the highest honor you can get as a journalist is the Edward R. Murrow Award. I mean, you could argue maybe Peabody, but certainly the Edward R. Murrow is if not the top.
Pock, 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 yeah. Pock, pock, so. Goes the chicken. Top of the hour is ABC Radio News. This is my definition of a small town. I just spent 3 minutes beating the bejesus out of somebody who texted in. And I realized I knew who the person is. I love it. Gene writes on the Stahlberg Law KVC text line, Dave, calm down. No. I'm just having some fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dan Shadwell is here, and you're here, so let's talk.
Yeah.
If you want in on this conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Is there anybody in public life that you trust? We've gone from Walter Cronkite being the most trusted man in America to, I don't know, who do we got? Mike's in Morro Bay on KVEC. Hi, Mike.
David,
Mike?
Craig, and your audience.
Saturday.
The Mark Wilson Show is getting...
You're off the show. All right? No more. You like the Mark Wilson Show? And by the way, I heard you the other day when you called the Democrats Democraps. Okay? Done with you. That's the fourth time... That's the fourth time he's sworn on the air.
I got it.
All right.
I dumped it.
All right. Enough. Yeah. Enough.
Well, I
really?
Like...
Enough.
Yeah. I like this question about who is most trusted, because I think in part when people talk about how we are the most, we're more divided now than we've been at any time since the Civil War, perhaps. If we can, you know, put a flag in front of the person that, and I don't mean a U.S. flag, I mean just put a flag in the ground near somebody who is most trusted, maybe that gives us a little bit of a compass. Maybe we should remember, you know, that there are people out there that are worthy probably of our trust and are working very hard to do the right thing.
So that's what we've been pursuing. Yeah. We've had some interesting names. I personally like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers, right? Is good. I would say I like John Stewart too.
Yes.
I think his appearance in front of Congress demanding that they fund the 9/11 first responders medical fund. I think that, you know, whether you like him or not based on your political views, hard to say that wasn't really a monumental move.
I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah.
And he walked away from The Daily Show, mm-hmm. and opened up this farm sanctuary with his wife in New Jersey, mm-hmm. and he defending the 9/11 guys.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, another vote for John McCain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think there are a lot of people that feel like John McCain's loss or the fact that he's no longer with us left a lot of people in the Republican Party without a rudder.
But back on Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
If you're in management, how long do you stay with him as the advertisers keep dropping? He's lost a lot of advertisers.
Well, this is how business runs, of course. It's on ratings, as Trump is always pointing out. I mean, how are the ratings for Tucker Carlson? And I mean, they may be pushed into a situation where they have to make a change. I don't see it coming yet, but I have to say, I take issue with what Tucker Carlson said in terms of trying to downplay the whole idea of white supremacy being an issue. When he says white supremacy is a hoax, this is a hoax just like the Russia hoax. Those are both things that we all know. If anybody paid any attention in school and has spent any time reading or listening to what our intelligence chiefs have said, everybody should know that that's baloney. It is baloney. And here's the thing. It's not just loose talk. His remarks came just days after the mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, where 22 people were killed. And dozens more were injured. And investigators say the shooter was motivated by a hatred of Hispanics and pointed to a white supremacist manifesto worrying about an Hispanic invasion. And over again, the president has repeated these on both on the campaign stump and recently in his speeches. He has run around 2,200 ads since May of 2018 that mention the word invasion when referring to immigrants at the southern border. Oh, there are people that listen to this stuff.
Yeah.
And when he just discounts that out of hand, that's dangerous stuff.
But let me try this, Dan, because when you were a news anchor, even as a news reporter, you had to play it down the middle.
Right.
Did that frustrate you at times when you had to sit there and be neutral on an issue and you really couldn't say, hey, this is baloney?
Well, what I would do...
Did you ever want to just kind of yell at the camera, do one of those Howard Beale moments?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it can be incredibly frustrating. But I think what you try to do as a journalist is you try to uncover the truth. You try to get to the truth. And sometimes it's a little slippery. But I think what you try to do is make sure that the information that you're conveying shows as much of the truth in context as you can possibly get your hands on.
Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, listener wants to know if we trust USA Today newspaper. This is 2019. Who reads USA Today? Here's the only time I read USA Today. If I'm at a hotel and I get a free copy, I'll thumb through it. That's about it.
Yeah, I think that's the last time I saw it.
I have no opinion of USA Today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, the idea behind USA Today was to boil everything down into a couple sentences.
The problem that Fox News has is that they lost Bill O'Reilly, and that's how Tucker Carlson came into being. They needed another superstar.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tucker Carlson is going to be that guy, because he doesn't seem to have the talent of Bill O'Reilly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I think that they could keep him and they'd do okay. but they'd probably be better off grooming somebody else in the long run.
Well, the statement, you know, which I read earlier, I mean, there are internal contradictions in the statement when he says the combined membership of every white supremacist organization in this country is able to fit inside a college football stadium. Seriously, of all the problems facing this country, where would white supremacy be? And then he says it's a hoax. Well, if you think about that for a second, you can fit a lot of people into a college football stadium.
About 100,000. It only takes one.
Right. And if somebody were to say to you, oh, you know what, we're going to just disregard Islamic terrorists because there are only 100,000 of them here in the United States, I think a lot of people would be a little nervous about that.
As Dan Shadwell formulates a final thought, I take a second here and thank our guest today. Check out the podcast at 920kvc.com. If you missed our conversations with Dwyer Brown or Hillary Roberts-Grant or Randall Jordan or Jim Zim, the cruise guy, or our conversation just now with Dan Shadwell, final thoughts, Mr. Shadwell.
Well, okay, I am. When we're talking about race, and it's a big part of the conversation these days, I don't know that it's enough to just stand by and let this whole debate play out. Martin Luther King said before his passing, "In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends."
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Another guy we miss a lot.
Yeah.
Dan, thank you. Nice job as always.
My pleasure, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Craig Hill for his help. I know that Mike in Morro Bay will be listening to him tomorrow with Mark Wilson. I'm Dave Congleton. I'm going hiking. Have a great night. Oliver the Cat, get out of my chair. I'm coming home. Take care.